Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, rim brakes are not dead. In fact, they're officially back. We are going to be looking at the new C68 and discussing why Colnago are keeping rim brakes alive.
We have also got drop bar mountain bikes, the phone that predicts your FTP from a 4-minute test, a new CEO at Rafa, the incredible biceps of Tadej Pogačar, and the solved mystery of a 6-month-old bear cub found dead under a bike in Central Park 10 years ago.
Really?
Really. This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that riding 32-centimetre handlebars when you're built a bit like the Incredible Hulk is an interesting look, to say the least, isn't it?
Matthew Glaitzer of Australia is the man of the picture. It clearly works, though. He won his first ever Olympic medal in Paris, so well done to him.
We also learnt that Tadej Pogačar, he probably would look all right, wouldn't he, using 32-centimetre handlebars.
This is what Urs Zegart posted on Instagram ahead of the Tour de France Femmes Avec Zwift, which started yesterday, and more on that later on.
He's no Matthew Glaitzer.
No.
Is he, looking at those photos, yeah. Pogačar? I do reckon that we could get away with riding 32-centimetre bars. I have been going to the gym.
I can tell, actually.
Maybe 38 centimetres would be about my limit.
I might need smaller ones.
28. finally, we learnt this week that rim brakes are not dead. So last week, Colnago released a new model in their C68 range, and to many people's surprise, it was not equipped with disc brakes.
Unlike their C68 road, gravel and all-road offerings, this was music to the ears of many cyclists out there. And we're fully aware of how many people are disgruntled at the move from rim to disc brakes. And we know that because of the YouTube comments section here. Well, Colnago to the rescue.
For those people, yes. I guess the first question is, why? I mean, seemingly every major brand has been gradually fading out rim brakes in favour of discs. So why has Colnago gone against that trend? It seems particularly surprising given that Colnago were, I think, the first manufacturer to release a road bike with disc brakes.
Bloody hell, Dan.
I actually used one myself in 2013.
But you look amazing in this picture. You're so young.
Oh, thanks, mate. Yeah. Amazing as well. I haven't aged at all since then.
Anyway, in answer to your question, perhaps we should look at the press release. And in the absence of Si to read it out, maybe you should do the honours.
Crikey. Those are big shoes to fill. But I should do my best. The Colnago rim brake is a product born out of passion and love for cycling. It's a frame that transcends time and trends. Because of its special and niche nature, very few people will be able to boast of only one.
Roughly translated, that means it's limited edition and not cheap. And a little further down the website, Colnago say that this bike was designed specifically for those cyclists still fond of the traditional rim brake system, and Colnago wants to be there for those dedicated and passionate cyclists.
So basically, they are looking to cater to the traditionalists who love rim brakes.
Yeah.
They've probably seen the same comments as we have online from the disgruntled cyclists that Alex mentioned, who don't feel they need disc brakes on their road bikes, and they're hoping to fill that void in a way that other companies aren't.
Yeah, that pretty much sounds about right. Mm. Do you think we're going to see Tadej Pogačar racing on one anytime soon, though?
Probably not, because strangely, the rim brake version weighs slightly more than its disc brake cousin, if we want to call it that. But that's for the frame set only, so I'd imagine you could probably build it to be a lighter bike than the disc one. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. Never say never, though.
No, never say never. The other thing worth noting is that the frame set is only compatible with very top-end electronic group sets. So this bike, well, it might be nostalgic in some ways, but I think the price tag is going to be anything but. So the frame set is going to retail for a little over £6,000. If you then add on top the top-end group set, plus wheels and all the finishing kit, I reckon you're looking at a very expensive bike.
Yeah, not a huge surprise though, because Colnago pride themselves on being a premium brand after all. That said, I'm going to be interested to know how many nostalgic traditionalists are prepared to part with that sort of cash to satisfy their need for rim brakes.
Well, exactly. Especially when you only need to spend £82.50, as Si showed in Saturday's video on GCN.
Oh, I mean, imagine weighing up the decision between having those two bikes. You have a £12,000 Colnago C68 or an £82.50
cross XTR. I mean, that could be a long deliberation in some people's heads, couldn't it? Or maybe not. The other question that I have, which as our resident tech expert, I'm hoping you'll be able to answer.
Yeah.
How long will Shimano, SRAM and Campagnolo continue to make rim brake group sets?
Well, Dan, that is a good question. And my guess is not very long. In fact, SRAM and Campagnolo have pretty much given up on that for their top-end stuff already. Shimano, thankfully, still are at it, though. In fact, I am currently building a bike using Shimano's latest DuoAce 9200 rim brake group set. Of course, there's other options available out there at different price points. But perhaps the lower price point of stuff is maybe not going to be what's really appealing for people looking at this expensive C68. There are, of course, other brands to choose from out there, but competitive prices as well, basically.
Yeah, perhaps then they will be looking and closely monitoring the sales of this new Colnago C68 rim, I guess to help them get a sense of how much demand there is still out there. Can you think of anything else on bikes, Alex, that has reverted to what is now seen as old technology, successfully reversed?
Well, I think threaded bottom brackets has got to be the first thing. And also, just simple but premium kind of tech is what I think we should revert back to slightly.
Yeah, so things that worked better before than they do now. I've got a few things, actually, a couple that I would like to see the return of.
Yeah.
Inner tubes, to start with.
I'm not sure they've really gone.
Well, no, they have. I know they're still quite common, but I personally find the whole process of fitting tyres with tubes a hell of a lot easier and quicker and cleaner than doing tubeless.
I think a lot of people do. Look, as much as I love tubeless tyres, it's not without all its faff and mess, isn't it?
And external cabling is another thing.
Yeah.
I just look at bikes with internal cable routing and think to myself, there's no way in hell I'm going to be able to replace a cable if I need to. I know that you can, but even you've got to admit it's time consuming and frustrating.
Yeah, I can't deny it. Like, I actually built a bike up for Chloe, my wife, about a month ago. I don't even think I should repeat the words that came out of my mouth. Is there anything else that you would like to see making a return, or is that you done?
No, I have got more.
of course you have.
Bar ends on cross-country mountain bikes.
Look, you can't, like, a few minutes ago claim that you've not aged since 2013, but then say you want to see bar ends made a comeback.
I can, and I have. Thank you very much. Also, shades that don't cover three quarters of your face.
Yeah.
And non-aero bras.
I mean, I'm not really an expert on the subject, but I'm pretty sure that normal bras haven't gone out of fashion ever since the invention of the aero bra.
Well, they have for Ollie, I would say.
They don't pay me enough for this shit.
Yeah,
they've gone out of fashion for him. He is going well with it, though, isn't he? 18 minutes 23 for a 10-mile time trial is definitely not too shabby. 2 minutes quicker than I've ever been in my life. It does seem, though, from looking at his Strava, like he paid for that 18 minute 23 effort, because I noticed that Ollie uploaded a 110-metre ride at the weekend, which took him just over a minute.
Now, I feel like we might be getting ever so slightly off topic here.
Well, that's true.
The one thing I would like to see make a return is, like, traditional kind of technology, but still with a modern twist to it. That's my thing, basically.
Anything specific?
Well, some of the things we've mentioned, like threaded bottom brackets. Also, just the fact that older parts seemed to be able to be serviced by your everyday person at home. I want to see modern tech and tradition blended a little bit better.
Good point. Right then, over to you at home. What do you think of Colnago's move to keep rim brakes alive? Do you think other manufacturers are going to follow suit? Do you think they should follow suit? And if so, why?
That is a lot of questions, Dan, to which you can leave your answers in the comments section down below.
I'm actually looking forward to reading them because I think there are going to be some very passionate responses to those questions. Just before we move on, a quick nod to the GCN shop. Probably hasn't escaped your attention that hot off the heels of the Olympics, Cycling's two final Grand Tours of the season are now upon us. And as such, we've updated our collection of T-shirts.
Now, if you head over to shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com, you will find a whole load of big Spanish bike ride and big French bike ride themed T-shirts, two of which we are sporting on the show today. We've also got some special edition Camelback bidons.
Where is the Camelback bidon?
It's here.
There we go.
So that's
also Spanish themed. It's just a quick reminder, actually, that our shop sales are a really big part of what allows us to make so much free-to-view content. So it does make a huge difference to us when you support us by making a purchase. Likewise, it's been great to have so many of you support us by taking out a YouTube membership And on that subject, we have just added 5 documentaries for Musette and Beadon members to watch.
Those documentaries are Junk Bike Battle, Train Like a Belgian, The Fast Lane, Annapurna Circuit, and Angulu. And since the Vuelta starts this Saturday, we thought we'd show you the trailer for the last of those, even though the Angulu isn't actually in the race this year. I can't even say it.
Well, by the time you finish watching this trailer, Alex will get it.
The Alto de Angulu is a calling card that stands out in any Vuelta España.
20%, 21%, the numbers are hellish.
Para el ciclismo español, el Angliru es como nuestro coloso. Es pura épica, mítico.
I rode up it in the 2017 Vuelta. It nearly broke me. Now, though, I'm returning to the mountain with David Miller, who also has painful memories of climbing it way back in 2002.
There was this proper fear of this is going to be bike racing like we've never done before.
Y siempre que en una vuelta a España hay Angliru, hay espectáculo.
I've got the ring in front of me on my head unit. It's just red. It's red the whole way.
I was professional for 16 years. I traveled for many famous climbs, and in my opinion, this one is the hardest.
This climb alone is the pivotal point, I think, where we go into modern cycling.
Es pura supervivencia y una batalla contra uno mismo.
No more gears left.
Both have unfinished business on the Angulu, both gradients hitting almost 25%. Will we conquer it? Or will it conquer us?
Really trying to avoid. Put my foot down.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
A reminder that you can become a member of our channel by clicking on the join button that you see on the homepage of Android and desktop devices, and that you'll need to take out a Musette or Beadon membership to be able to watch the documentaries, which were formerly on GCN Plus.
Right then, we shall move on to cycling shorts and start with news of what Bolt claim is the first razor specific to men's legs.
Yes, you heard that right. The handle is built for a man's hand, and the razors themselves are designed specifically to tackle men's leg hair.
I have a few reservations about this. I mean, firstly, I'm pretty sure that men's and women's hands don't differ enough ergonomically to really warrant a gender-specific handle. And secondly, I don't think the hair on my legs is any tougher to shave than the hair on my face. If anything, it's the opposite.
Well, there goes our Bolt sponsorship, Dan. I do agree, though. My Gillette seems to just do the job just fine.
Yeah.
Legs and face, no trouble.
No trouble.
Moving swiftly on. Anyway, the Leadville 100 took place at the weekend and had a couple of very worthy winners, didn't it?
Yeah, no surprises in the men's race, where Keegan Swenson took a very comfortable victory, and that despite an early puncture that really put him on the back foot. Interestingly, he used a mountain bike with drop bars. I know you noticed that as well.
Yeah, but not rim brakes. In the women's race, Melissa Rollins dropped Sofia Gomez Villafane and Michaela Thompson on the Columbine Climb, never to be seen again.
I'm still not keen on this thing they seem to do where they spray champagne over the riders as they cross the finish line. But anyway, it always sounds like a great event, the Leadville 100. So well done to the winners and indeed everyone who finished.
Moving on though, Rafa have just appointed a new CEO, Fran Miller, who was previously the CEO at the Ineos Grenadiers and Bellstaff. And she'll take the helm of the clothing company in late September, where she'll replace Francois
Fonservé, I think
that
is.
Thank you very much.
Yes. We're going to go on a complete tangent now, aren't we?
Okay.
And that bizarre story about a Kennedy, a dead bear, and cyclists being framed.
Bear with us here, if you'll pardon the pun. This is a story that was posted on CBS News a week ago, which solved a decade-long mystery about how a dead sixth-month bear cub ended up in Central Park, New York, underneath a bike.
The culprit? Presidential candidate Robert Kennedy Jr. So he posted a video to X in which he described the incident. Now, apparently, he was driving behind somebody who hit and killed the bear. So he pulled over to pick the bear up with the intention of skinning it and then putting the meat into his fridge.
Which is apparently allowed in the state of New York. Now, the problem was that he was just too busy to do it, so he decided that he should dispose of the bear somehow. Spurred on by some friends who had had perhaps a little bit too much to drink, Kennedy decided to dump the bear in Central Park and place a bike on top of it to make it look like the bear had been hit by a cyclist.
I can't get over this story. Somewhat surprisingly, he didn't expect the media attention that seemed to ensue at the time. It soon died down, though, and the mystery remained unanswered until an article in the New Yorker recently, which finally uncovered the truth.
When we said it was a bizarre story, we did actually mean it. And it's almost impossible to segue from that into another story, so we'll just have to bulldoze our way into the Samsung smartwatch that claims to be able to predict your FTP from just doing a 4-minute test.
That was quite the shift in subjects.
Yeah, quite harsh.
Anyway, this is something that we saw on DC Rainmaker's website. So all you need to do is pair the watch to a Samsung Galaxy smartphone and then your smartphone to a power meter. Long story short, after a 4-minute all-out effort, the FTP estimate for Ray wasn't that far off. 271 watts the first time he tried it, 280 the second, versus the 290 to 310 that his FTP normally hovers around.
Long way from your FTP, though, isn't it, Dan?
It's a long way ahead of my FTP, yeah.
Whether that's close enough or not to be worth using depends on how serious you are as a rider, I guess. But I think we'd all like to do a shorter test, if at all possible. Less pain, the better.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, the whole process did seem ridiculously complicated. And this is particularly concerning given that Ray, i.e. DC Rainmaker, is one of the world's foremost experts in cycling gadgetry. If he's saying it's complicated, I wouldn't have a clue where to start.
Well, just do an hour flat out. How hard can it be?
I'd prefer the 4 minutes. Anyway, I think it's too hard for me to start, in my opinion, 1 hour flat out.
A bit of racing news now, and it appears that Mark Cavendish's final competitive outing will be at the Saitama Criterium in Singapore this November. You see, after the Tour de France, we weren't sure whether we'd see him race again, but it appears there'll be one last hurrah.
I would bet quite a lot of money that he will win that Saitama Criterium.
Wow.
What we don't know for sure is whether he'll race anything else between now and then, but it does sound like that will be unlikely. Right, we'll finish cycling shorts with a look at the first stage of the Tour de France Femme.
Well, it has literally just finished now as we're recording the show. A flat but nervous opening stage in the Netherlands ended up in a bunch of sprints.
It did, and well done to Charlotte Cole of Team DSM Firmenich. An absolutely gutted Lorena Vibes had a mechanical problem in the closing few hundred metres, but that allowed her former teammate to take the win, and of course with it, the first yellow jersey of this year's race. Actually, just before we finish, a reminder that registration is open for the 2024 Zwift Academy. It started on the 5th of August, but this year there's a much longer 3-month window to complete the required 6 training sessions and 2 races, so you'll have plenty of time to fit it all in.
Yeah, head over to Zwift's website to find out more and register. And don't forget that if you're a talented young cyclist, this is your opportunity to earn a pro contract with Canyon SRAM or Alpecin De Koenig.
Wow. Good luck then to everyone that enters. Time now for Hack / bodge of the week. This is where you come into your own.
Sorry, I was a bit slow with forward slash, but never mind.
I thought you would be. I didn't give you any practice. But this is where you should come into your own.
Okay.
As one of our resident tech experts as to whether the following are indeed hacks or bodges. I will start with this one from Titus the Cyclist, who puts magic insole. My pal and I were out riding. When I noticed that my riding partner's bars were downright fat. When I asked him about it, he said that his wrists were causing him problems as a result of a recent dirt bike wipeout, and so he unwrapped his bars, cut up some old gel insoles and stuck them onto the bars. Rewrapped the bar tape and hey presto, cushioned bars to keep one's wrists happy as we shred the pure gravel gnar. Sweet.
That's a sentence you often say, isn't it? Shred the pure gravel gnar.
Does it make me sound younger?
Yeah,
my young looks.
Yeah, you do. Can I just off the cuff bodge? Not happy about that.
No?
Well, I mean, the correct product exists already that you could just use.
And it's not very expensive.
Yeah, I'm going to say like a few pounds, euros or dollars.
Maybe the gel insoles for the shoes were more expensive than the actual product.
Yeah, in which case exactly that cements it as a bodge.
Also, you can just double wrap your bar tape, can't you?
Yeah, could do that.
That's what a lot of Roubaix riders used to do before the fat tyres came in.
Yeah.
Right, you're going bodge?
Yeah, Bodge, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to follow the expert this week, so I'm going to say Bodge as well.
Oh, okay. Right, back to basics next with their submission, which is a brake-setting trick. So they say they've always struggled with setting the brakes on kids' bikes. I've been fixing up a bike for a friend who decided... Oh, and decided to give this a try. Tried it with a disc brake spacer first, but it was too wide. Then found some old cards and they worked perfectly. Place them in between the brake pads and the rim, pull everything as tight as possible, and then tighten the fixing. And then just for clarity, remove cards. Remove cards
just
afterwards.
Just make sure you don't leave the cards there.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on this.
Why?
Because I think it's kind of brilliant, but also, like, I just don't think you have to use the cards. I just think you could work it fine without needing the cards.
But how so?
Well, the tolerance of the cards are so small, you just got to, just a little bit of practice and get it right.
Surely the cards make it easy. I mean, yeah. To clarify, this is a really, really old hack or bod, whichever way we're going to vote on it, because it was to sort of prevent squeal and help the performance of brakes, wasn't it?
Especially well, you would like put them back and toe them in or out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yes.
And so it was made easier by just wedging something at one end of the brake pad so that when you squeeze the brake against the rim, you could then tighten the bolts up and they were presumably in the perfect position. But Alex is just not sold in this.
No, I kind of am. I don't want to be too harsh, but I'm going to go. I'm going to go hack. Whatever. Yeah.
I'm going to go hack as well. Then.
Yeah. All right.
Next up, Sugarfoot. Less aero, more air. Just to give Velomobiles a bit of airtime, in preparation for a cross-country trip, I added some ventilation to my Velomobile. In front, I moved the horn from a hole in the floor and bolted on a scoop from an old mudguard extension. Provides a noticeable breeze. Over 12 kilometres per hour. To the hood, I added a visor cut from a plastic paint can, wire supports from a political sign stuck in my lawn, and to allow airflow, elevated the back of the hood with the extra holes drilled and bolts bolted. All this to permit use of a hood as a sunshade after many bouts of skin cancer.
Well, I mean, that's a really important thing to
Well, yeah, I mean, the final sentence discuss. Sort of deems it says hack in itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't want to really joke about it now. I was going to be quite light-hearted about it. The duct for the bottom is going to be a well-received breeze up the trouser leg, I'm going to say. I'm going to say it's a hack. I think it's cool.
I know nothing about Velomobiles, even less than about normal bikes. But again, I'm going to follow Alex's lead and I'm going to say hack as well.
Well, I mean, it's functional, but it's really killing the aero. Yeah. Whatever.
I think it's Pioneer.
With a stuck cassette lock ring helper. Trying to get off an over-tightened cassette lock ring can be tricky as the chain whip often comes off when you're applying force, so they use a small bit of wire to hold it in place and then hit it with a hammer. Worked a treat. Do you know what? I can get on board with that. Yep. I'm going to say it's a hack.
In that case, I'm going to say it's a hack as well.
I'm getting the distinct feeling of, you know, when you're like a kid at school and you're like, they're just copying my homework.
Yeah. I will go ahead with that one. But as most people know by this point, in one of the early GCN videos, I made a chain whip myself. And it turned out that the cost of the piece of chain, the piece of metal that I use and everything else to put it together was actually a little bit more than actually buying a chain whip.
I feel like that sums up
to the first part of today's hack or bodge.
Yeah.
But the use of a hammer, I think I'd normally say bodge with that, but like I said, I'm following Alex's lead there. It's nice to be next to someone who knows what they're talking about when it comes to bikes and tech.
Major throwing shade on Simon.
Yeah, he won't watch it
though. Yeah, he won't.
A reminder that if you would like to get involved in this part of the show, all you need to do is go to upload.globalcyclingnetwork.com, where you can submit your own hack or bodge, or indeed something else that you've seen.
Caption competition time next. This is where you got the chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle or bidon, if you're French or pretentious.
You were telling me Ollie says bidon.
Yeah, Ollie does say that. Yeah, that's Ollie's phrase, not mine, sorry. I don't actually care what you call it.
No. It seems like you do to me.
Right, last week we had this picture of Alberto Bettiol, didn't we?
Yeah, for those of you listening on a podcast, this is Alberto Bettiol in the Olympic Games in his lovely Italian kit, looking around at something whilst riding along on his bike. Our winner this week is Liv MDR, who put caption competition, paint me like one of your French girls.
From a film, I'm told, is that right?
From Titanic.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
You've You see that quite a lot, or you hear it quite a lot as well.
Yeah, I've heard it a lot. Water bottle coming our way.
Well done to Liv. Yeah, get into contact with us on Facebook with a message and your address. We'll get a bottle sent out to you as soon as possible. This week's photo is this one of Guillermo Thomas Silva of Uruguayan team Caja Rural, racing, I think it was the Clásica San Sebastián recently.
Who's the rider as well, then?
You think that's the name of the
bull?
The cattle. The bull. I'm going to get you started. Spanish cattle make compelling argument for the return of mountain bike bar ends.
Yeah.
They were called bullhorns to begin with, I think.
They were.
They were called bar ends.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a handlebar type as well, I think.
Yeah.
Like a back swept type. Yeah, that's great.
I didn't spend too long thinking about that, as you can probably tell, but that was the best that I could come up with in the time that I'd allotted to it. Get involved in the comment section down below. And as ever, we'll pick a winner this time next week. We will shortly be letting you know what's coming up on GCN's YouTube channel this week. But first up, as ever, we've picked out a few of our favourite comments from the last week's worth of videos. And we'll begin with a few from underneath last week's show. First up, CW Moo put, in New York City, people ride throttle e-bikes that can do 60 kilometres per hour plus. According to the law, they are moped and require license and registration, but almost all of them are unregistered. They often ride in cycle lanes, through parks, the wrong way while running red lights. That's why so many people in New York City are so against e-bikes. The fast e-bikes have also become preferred gateway vehicles for robbery and assault. Serious stuff.
I completely agree. I've been to New York twice this year, and it's actually quite terrifying, the e-bikes that blast around, like on throttle. So I've nearly got run over multiple times. Mm-hmm. Next comment is from Rob Chastain 3036. Hank always has that substitute teacher vibe. Class is going to be a little bit more fun today.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Rob. Yeah. It was me that Hank replaced last week.
I wonder what sort of vibe people get from me. Probably not substitute teacher vibe.
Well, write in. What sort of vibe are you getting in terms of teacher experience from Alex? I'd imagine from me, it's the old teacher that should be about to retire. Don't write that.
Don't write that.
Underneath, we bought the cheapest road bike, Tristan Rossin. I started out just over a year ago with a second-hand bike for £300. Terrible mechanical disc brakes and aluminium frame, but it started something. It got me out and about, and it got me hooked. A year later, and nearly 6,000 kilometres under my belt after riding almost every day, and I've just upgraded to a full carbon gravel. My point being, budget bikes might not be the best bikes, but if treated as an entry point to better things, a sub £90 bike is a wonderful thing. Good point, well made.
I completely agree. I actually recently made a video all about why cheap bikes are great. So if you want to celebrate cheap bikes, go check that out. The improbable Iron Man next, saying, I really do think that a bike is worth £82.50. As a workhorse, / daily beater, / to the shop, / gym bike, it's pretty much perfect. My local Argos has these in stock, and I'm really tempted to buy one and then plunder my spares box for a few low / no-cost upgrades. Would love to see some videos of you guys doing that. Surely Alex has some Dura-Ace bits knocking around that you could throw on it. Really enjoy these real-world cycling videos. Top work, GCN. Yes. What sort of generation Dura-Ace do you want? I've got a selection to choose from.
I'm not sure that's a frame set that should be graced with a Dura-Ace product of any generation, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I'm not belittling it anyway. Do you know what? As cited in the video, it was me, because I've got a slight addiction to an app / website called Hot UK Deals, that spotted this deal on that road bike and said, can we do some content with this?
Did it get served to you as an ad or not?
No.
Oh, wow. You searched it out.
No, I go on to Hot UK Deals a couple of times a day, see what the hottest deals of the day were, and this thing popped up. And I thought exactly the same thing about it being a potential pub bike, because whilst I wouldn't want to lose £82.50, it'd be much better if that one got nicked than any of the other bikes that I used to get to the pub.
Yeah.
End of story.
Do you have a dedicated pub bike?
I just try and take the cheapest one I've got.
Yeah, all right.
Or I'll quite often take Lorraine's e-bike.
Probably one of the more expensive bikes you've got.
Decent lot, though.
Yeah. Underneath the bike packing from Coast to Coast video, Chris Guara says, happy to see another episode of The Adventures of Giraffe and Spaniel.
I presume that was Connor and Hank, was it?
Yeah, I don't think we need to explain which is which.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
So he's a spaniel and a substitute teacher. this week, Hank. Sweeney by name, but wonderful, joyous video. Two mates having a bloody good laugh, taking the piss out of each other and just enjoying the adventure. Really great to see, hear the message of respecting the landscape and being responsible in your treatment of it. Excellent work, GCN.
Can I just sort of throw Hank O'Connor under the bus ever so slightly?
Please do.
I'm sure you'd encourage it. It was mentioned on a meeting we had the other day that someone had emailed in and said that they'd spotted Hank and Connor outside of a camping shop in one of the towns that they were passing by, stocking up on supplies and spares. So they might not have been quite as well prepared as they let on.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah. Underneath the kind of ride down an Alp on a city bike video, you go first.
Nalissa77 put, why are you guys always trying to kill Hank? Jeez. Yeah. He loves it. You know, when he's not doing his supply teacher role, he likes to get out and
he always puts
come
himself
close
forward
to killing himself.
For this stuff,
yeah, he volunteers.
Chris
Routledge.
Routledge, oh, thanks. The brakes don't work. Brackets, adopts aero position to go faster.
Yes, that sounds very much like Hank as well, yeah. Doesn't it? Right, in terms of what we've got coming up for you on the channel this week, on Wednesday, it is how to bike pack in comfort. On Thursday, it's a big one for any cyclist, how to stop sore legs. I guess you can choose the 4-minute FTP test as opposed to going an hour flat out, but I don't think that's a part of the video. And on Friday, it's a bit of a surprise, I think, what's coming out this Friday, so keep your eyes peeled for that one.
Saturday, we've got the Trans-Erie, which is side taken on the fastest known time here. This is going to be something pretty special. I'm looking forward to seeing this. Mm. And then on Sunday, well, we've got your journey back to health and fitness, episode 5, where you are focusing on sleep, I believe.
Yeah, this was a video I very much enjoyed preparing for.
A lot of training for it.
Yes. Doesn't sound like the most exciting of subjects, sleep, does it? But over the last year and a half, I've learned more and more, as a lot of people have, about the benefits of getting good sleep as much as you possibly can. So I'm telling you what happens to your body and your brain when you sleep at night. And if you struggle with sleep, what things you can do to try and make sure you get a better sleep.
Now, I genuinely do think it's a fascinating subject. I'm looking forward to finding out more about it. I'm just pleased that you stayed awake for the whole show today.
Oh, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks.
You can come more often.
Oh, good. Well, I think this makes me a 3 or 4-time veteran of the GCN show.
Crikey. Mm,
thank you very much.
And what number are we on? 600 and... I don't know what it is.
I'm a few behind
it's a big
you.
Big number.
Just a few behind you.
We've got some catching up to do. Mm. Right, well, thank you to Alex for joining me on the show today. Thank you at home for watching. We'll, of course, be back again this time next week.
I might not be back. Bye.